good. All good. Cool. Nice to finally get you on here, dude. Nice to finally just jam it out.
I know, man. I'm really excited. Okay, well, 1 second before we go. Let's see. Okay. Still getting set up right here. How's that?
Perfect. Perfect, dude.
Nice.
We're live, as they say out here in the podcast world. We're live.
Nice. Are you, is it raining up in Sacramento right now?
Not yet, but yet it was this morning. It was yesterday. It was kind of a crazy day. We had like our trash can like blew over overnight. Like there was just like, I woke up and it was just like tree leaves and branches everywhere. And I was like, I was sleeping like a baby. I don't know what happened. So, how are you doing?
You know, we're doing great. We just got a flash flood warning down here in sunny San Diego.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's always fun, right?
Yeah. We're doing well, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, so I want to say just thanks for jumping on. I know you and I have been going back and forth on a few things for a while now. Different ideas, different communities. You've been, you know, changing gears left and right with certain things. And I'm happy to finally get you on here. And so we could just kind of chat and just hear a little bit more about you and what you've been up to and what you're building and kind of go from there. So thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it. And always happy and excited to chat with you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So tell me, I want to kind of start at the beginning. Tell me a little bit about your early days in the tech world and how you started, what got you in it, and then we can kind of go from there and talk about what you're working on now. And you're expecting also another baby and like so many things going on. So I want to hear all about it, dude.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, lots of life changes happening.
Yeah.
We have a 3-year-old and we're expecting our son in about a week here. It could be any moment now. So very excited about that. My background, I think my entrepreneurial background started when I was at UC Berkeley around 2007, 2008. I got really excited about trying to solve, you know, a really big problem with a really simple solution. The problem was, you know, global climate change and urban congestion and sort of all of these issues that come out of, you know, us having a car-centric transportation model in the United States and really thinking about, you know, what is the simplest way to solve those big problems? And, you know, the bicycle was really this obvious answer for me. And so, you know, set out to solve that first in a really just like non-technical way. And so I wrote a grant out to the university, received like $10,000 to set up a bike share system on campus and got a bunch of students involved in the process. We bought a bunch of bikes and we bought a bunch of bike locks, you know, just regular off the shelf bike locks. And we're handing out keys and basically just signing people up, paper and pen, you know, getting their name down on paper and handing them the key, and off they went. And, you know, people really, really were into this idea. And this is early days, you know, bike share. No one really knew what that word meant or what that was. The Paris system was sort of like the first big system in the world to launch. And it was happening right around that time. And, you know, I saw this really cool idea in this. And the following semester, we're like, okay, this is cool, but one, we need to figure out how to operationalize this. We need a space to do that. And two, we need to automate the unlocking process. We have to move away from paper and pen and figure that out. You know, I found it. What was really cool is this really, this like dirty space, this dirty stairwell on campus, right in the center of UC Berkeley. And it was this locked up space that no one had used. And it was just kind of gross. But I saw this like this diamond in the rough behind it. And I somehow, I don't know how the university handed me a key to unlock this space and get access to it. And funny story too, like we started to clean the space out with, you know, all the kids from all the students from the course. And as we're like washing the thing out, there's like water leaking down into the library below the space. And luckily the water didn't hit any of the books and stuff. And it's just this crazy situation, but you know, we were able to build this beautiful bike shop on campus in this stairwell. And actually today it's still very active in running, and they put a ton of money into it and turned it into a legitimate bike shop on campus, which is cool. But, you know, on the automation side, found like some off the shelf locking system and, that was actually used for real estate and sort of just like hacked it together. And after college, you know, I realized like, hey, this, there's a business behind this thing. And so I started, I made an LLC and started to sell that technology to other folks. Some folks called Zagster in Boston. I moved to Boston to be with them and start that, you know, that relationship and that company. And I was, you know, kind of like did that again, just like in a very hacky way, like didn't have any money, was like sleeping in the, they were going through Techstars, and I was like in the building, sleeping in the building and stuff, like just trying to get by. At the end of that, Techstars experience, they were like, hey, you know, it's not going to work out, for you to join the company, but we'll still buy the product. So I ended up selling them that product over the course of like, I don't know, 8 years. Turned out to be a pretty lucrative move. At that very moment, though, I also found these two guys, Ryan Respecki and Nick Foley in New York City. They're building, they had this vision to build a fully integrated product from the ground up. And, you know, they were building the bike and the electronics and the web and mobile communications. And this is really around the time when the iPhone was just up and coming. And so I moved again, kind of like moved on a whim. Like they said, hey, we don't have any money to pay you. I was like, look, we're going to figure this out. We're going to try to raise some capital. And they basically got me a train ticket into the city as my sort of payment. And the, you know, while we had this great idea, the concept, it was just a concept. Like the bike was, there is like one prototype. The thing didn't turn on. We couldn't get it to unlock. It was like, you know, and we're out there, you know, pitching cities and trying to sell cities on it. And we're trying to sell investors on it. And like, we go into all these investor meetings and, you know, they would basically at the end of the meeting be like, yeah, cool, cool idea. Like we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Right. Which meant like, get out of here, you know? So we're like painfully going through this process, like trying to build the product, trying to sell it at the same time, like just all these kind of struggles to do that. And, you know, it got to the point where I'm like, okay, I am so out of money. Like if we don't hit, like if something doesn't like click, you know, then I have to do something else. And so we actually had this New York tech meetup, event at NYU, and we go into the presentation, we present, and there's somebody in the crowd named David Rose. He's the founder of New York Angels, and he likes the idea, and he invites us over the following week. And I'm literally, as I'm saying, like on the last just straw, like it's just about to be over for me, and I'm about to make the move. If something doesn't, you know, happen, and we go into the meeting, and in the meeting, just did not expect this at all. I expected the like, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks conversation to happen. And he slams his fist on the table and he's like, I love it. And I want to do it. And, you know, it was a small amount of money that he put into the company. It was like 50K, but it was enough for us to, we had our first 100 bikes on the water about to clear customs. You know, it paid for whatever that custom fee was. And he also introduced us to his network and it opened up the door for us. And we were very quickly able to raise our first $1 million seed round. And we were sort of like off to the races. And then, you know, it took about 6 years or so to like really perfect this product. And, you know, we really started to gain traction across the US and Canada and even into Europe. And we built this thing and it was, you know, blood, sweat and tears for sure. And there was like ups and downs along the way, but we finally got to this place where we're like, this thing's working, it's going to happen. And funny enough, you're in Sacramento right now. We had this deal lined up, massive deal with the city of Sacramento. It was this sort of like, you know, moment in the company's history where we won the deal. It's on the finish line, about to be signed. And like literally in that meeting where they're supposed to approve to like sign it, this other company, Lime Bike, comes out of left field. And Lime had a different procurement model. They, instead of like going to the city and writing an RFP and getting the city to fund the CapEx, they're like, we're just going to take these off the shelf bikes and drop them into your community. And they basically said to the city, why are you giving these guys millions of dollars? We'll give you a free bike share system.
Oh, so, shit.
Just like in that moment, like whole business model upended, you know, all those years of like crafting the perfect bike, the perfect technology didn't matter at all because these guys just had an off the shelf product that, you know, took 2 seconds to deploy.
Oh man.
And so we immediately were like, I just remember this day, like it was looking out the window and the snow was falling. And I'm like, if we don't in this moment, like today, if we don't just completely reinvent this business, our business model, you know, we needed to reinvent the name. The company was called Social Bicycles up to this point. We needed to reinvent the brand. So we changed the name to Jump Bikes. And we had been working on the electrification of our bicycles over a 2-year period up until this point. And so there's like perfect sort of timing to this whole thing. We introduced the electric product like at that moment, and we changed the business model so that we were going to just, you know, give the bikes away to the city instead of trying to sell it to them. But the only way that model would work is if we could get like 5 or 6 rides a bike a day. And up until this point, we had only been able to get like 1 ride per bike per day for these regular bikes. And so it's kind of this bet, like, hey man, if this electric thing works and people love it that much, then like this thing could really take off if we can hit these numbers. And so long story short, we have 100 bikes, 100 red bikes. And with this SFMTA, we're in San Francisco and we're about to like launch this product, and we deliver it and it's like magic, you know? And like this whole idea around like product market fit, like it was the epitome of product market fit because people were literally like jumping up and down, like so excited to ride these things, so excited to get on them. And it made, you know, the sort of feedback is like, it makes you feel superhuman. And that feeling and that's like what I think, you know, product market fit really is. Like it was so obvious. And we were getting like upwards of like 10 rides per bike per day. So just absolutely business model. And at that moment in time, you know, we had investors coming at us, like Sequoia wanted to invest, and Menlo had just put in $10 million for our Series A, and then Uber wanted to partner. And so we did this partnership with Uber. And then very quickly after that, they acquired the company in 2018. So it's just this wild ride, you know, so many ups and downs, and there's so many stories in there that I didn't, you know, kind of go through, but like that was just this incredible experience that to go through that. And it was painful along the way, but just looking back at it, you know, so much fun.
Dude, that's amazing. Did you have a co-founder? How big was the team? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, you know, Ryan Respecki was the CEO of that company. And then Nick Foley, was, you know, chief product officer. I was, VP of business development, and, the other core team members were, Avra van der Zee was like our chief, legal counsel, and she was like a COO as well. A few other folks in there that just really were incredible. Yeah. The core team was super strong, and just, you know, some of my closest friends. When we were acquired, I think we're up at like 100 people total. That included like ops folks in each one of these cities. So fairly small. That's at the amazing. End of the day. But, you know, and like when we were acquired by Uber, it was like, you know, a 50,000 person company. So like massive shift from like 100 person company to this giant organization.
That's crazy. And how much when that whole process went through, like, did you guys still own a majority of it, or did a lot of it go to investors because you got so much money invested into the company?
Yeah. I mean, there was definitely, you know, we had only up until that point, the Series A round was like our last round. And so there was still like, you know, people I think did well. I think, you know, it was tricky because that like 6-year period from that first million raise to that like 10 million A round, there was a lot of like, it was like seed plus, and it was investors kind of like, you know, continuing to fund the dream. I think the investors certainly made out well, but that was always the trickiest part of like a hardware startup is trying to fund it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I believe it. How did that trajectory of that journey, because that was obviously a very long period of time you invested, like what came after that, and how did that kind of change your, you know, perspective on like business and what you did after that? Like what kind of evolved from that point? Because that's obviously for somebody to start off with just an idea in college and tried to do very small things with like 10 bikes, and then going over and getting crushed by Lime, and then all of a sudden kind of finding, again, like you said, product market fit and doing it in San Francisco. So all these events obviously were just, like you said, a roller coaster. You were running out of money. Like, what ended up happening kind of after that? What drove the next phase of that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think after, you know, I spent like a year and a half at Uber as well, and I realized pretty quickly that the sort of like big company, you know, big company culture and organization really wasn't for me. Like, what I love to do, and I kind of figured this out in that process, was like, I love early stage companies. I love that, like, trying to figure out how to like bring something from like zero to one, like hacking it, figuring out that go to market strategy in those like early days were the most fun for me. And so post, you know, Uber, I spent some time at a small transportation tech company called Swiftly, public transit tech company called Swiftly. I started a company with Nick Foley again, who again was a chief product officer at Jump. And he built an incredible 3D printing robot that prints these beautiful spaces, live and work spaces. And then most recently, prior to founding Ascend, I was at Replo, a landing page builder for Shopify. And when I met them, they had, you know, five customers. You know, what I look for in sort of all of those things, and especially, you know, with in the most recent journey with Replo, was they had these five customers, but just hopping on calls with them and listening to what they had to say, they were ecstatic about it. And, you know, just to have that sort of excitement and to try to find that sort of like that glimmer of like product market fit, is like what I was looking for. And we found that, and we were able to scale that company very, very quickly over the year that I was there. So, yeah, that's, I think my learning was, that's what I, you know, these, early stage companies was what I was really into. And that's the reason I founded Ascend Labs, was really to help out those early stage companies looking to bring their product to market and figure out their go-to-market strategy.
I love that. I love that. You and I think every time we've talked, I think we both have that same passion. I know myself too. It's like the building process of taking an idea, getting it to, you know, a 0.05 version, getting it to version one, getting a version two, like that building process and getting it off the ground, which is, in my opinion, is the hardest part, right? Because you're now just trying to find the individual customers, people that are willing to pay for the product, that are willing to support you. How do you shape that product to make it better, and all these other things? There's a lot that goes to that. You know, I can definitely vouch for even just my short period of time of jumping into the Slack channel at Replo and all of the stuff that you were doing, and how quickly the community grew and the product, and it expanded. And all of a sudden I started seeing it. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the environment that was built around that community and what you were able to bring. I mean, you were starting a podcast, you were doing a bunch of like webinars, you were doing just bringing everybody together as much as possible. And so props to you on that, because I know that's not easy to do, and you can burn out pretty quickly doing that. But I think that goes to just show that if you find that thing that you can feel other people's passion and you can find your passion in it, then you could put your energy in it, and makes it a lot more fun than it feels like work or whatever that is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's 100% it. You know, it is about finding, you know, your passion for it, but like what drives me is like everybody else's interest and investment into something. And so that's what makes, I think, great brands is not just like the team behind it, but the like customers, the community, the people that are investing their time and energy into it as well.
Yeah, exactly. So tell me, I'm going to take a step back into like a little bit more family life right now. What did that look like through that journey? Or did you I'm guessing you didn't have a kid at that time either, right? You were just kind of on your own a little bit, or how did that work out?
Yeah. So, you know, one really cool part about the entire experience was I met my partner and wife, you know, during that social bicycles timeline. And, you know, I met her in one of the cities. It's Hamilton is the name of the city in Canada. It's just south of Toronto. And we met there while I was setting up one of the systems. My job, on the business development side was to go to all of these cities around the world and travel around the world to see, to meet with these governments and then, pitch them the idea on bike share. And so what was really great was we traveled together and she, her and I, we went around the world together and got to go to some amazing places. And this is before we were married. It sounds incredible and stuff. And it was, but like, it wasn't as like glamorous as you might expect it to be. Like we were early days, I told you, like bootstrapping the whole thing. And so like we were in, the weirdest Airbnbs places and like
weirdest is putting it kindly. Weirdest is putting it kindly.
I was trying to keep it PG. it was pretty interesting. I mean, obviously the cities that we went to and explored and the cultures and everything that came out of that was just absolutely amazing and incredible stories. But yeah, it was tough living on the road and having just like a dirty bag of clothes and like trying to look, fancy for governments and stuff while, your suits.
Yeah, roughing it.
Yeah, totally.
So, I love it. Love it, man. That's really awesome. That's really awesome. You don't hear too many of the stories like that where you can kind of, find that person. And then all of a sudden now you're, like you said, traveling together and doing all those things. I think that's really, really awesome. How has life for you changed since those moments of, selling the company, starting, doing other things like the Replo stuff. And now you're also starting your own thing. And so tell me a little bit about that and how things have shifted for you and what you're building now. I think it's really, really cool. I'd love for you to kind of share a little bit more info on it.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, after those days, we ended up getting married and we started a family. And so, life definitely changed in a lot of ways. While I would love to go hit the road again at some point in time, it would look a lot different now, we're again about to have another kid. So like two kids and a full family it's a little tricky to do that sort of rodeo, like we did before. So, it's been great. I think, we are now on this sort of like new path with Ascend Labs trying to help these early stage companies and sort of, that this company is really evolving very quickly. It was started about 4 or 5 months ago. There's really three parts to it. And, they're basically being spun off into sort of like three different organizations. So one side is the community, really trying to foster, these all of these like early stage founders and, teams that are trying to build go-to-market strategy and find product market fit. And so, not only sort of trying to, bring the lessons and the learnings to them, but also like learning from them as well, because everyone has a story and everyone's going through something different and can bring something to the table. So we're all learning together there. I think, the second piece is more of an agency side of things. So that's Ascend Agency. We are, directly helping those companies that are interested in go to market, whether it be like outbound email, landing pages, content creation. That's the focus on the agency front. And then this sort of the new evolution of this has really been around content. And so Ascend Studios is where we're helping to build really compelling, beautiful content for companies, for early stage companies. Those sort of like three pieces have really just evolved out of, listening to what our community is saying, what customers are saying and what their needs are. And it's been a really fun process so far and just kind of, just excited to see where it goes.
Yeah. And how has your process of building this changed from the time that you, it's completely to you building a digital front right now, but before it was, a physical product and doing that whole thing. What's the process like now compared to, what you did back then with the bikes and all that stuff?
Yeah. I mean, you asked a question earlier too, about like, what were the learnings out of the bike side and you know, one of the big things is like just hardware is hard. It's really difficult. And even though, you know, after jump, I mentioned the, you know, building the 3D printing robot and stuff. And like, again, just going back into hardware, just it's so tricky. And so it is sort of a relief to build a software product. And, you know, I did that with Swiftly and I did that with Replo. And now with Ascend, it is, you know, very much a, you know, there's not too much hardware involved, minus like the cameras and stuff for, you know, on the studio side, but we're not building those. I think the digital aspect of it just makes it highly scalable. And, you know, the ability to literally go and work with people around the globe in a heartbeat and not having to ship product or not having to move yourself to go deliver things. And when things break, you know, that was like one of the hardest things at Jump was like when things would break, you would have to have people on the ground in different parts of the world to fix those things. And if things break from a digital perspective with these software businesses, it's a lot easier to fix things.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. How are you right now? Because you have a couple different components there. Like, what's the marketing look like for you guys to get your name out there? Because, I mean, the agency space in general is very saturated. There's an agency, I believe, for almost every use case and everything that's out there. What's kind of the differentiator there in terms of Ascend and what you guys are offering, and how are you getting those clients to buy into your vision and everything that you're doing now? Because I believe that what you've shown me so far with the community and kind of the goals of the agency and what you're looking to do is really, really awesome. And I think it's one of the things that I didn't do at my agency when I did is like build that community aspect of it first, because I think there's a lot of value with people sharing their knowledge, other people coming in, taking that knowledge and using it in their own way. Instead of you being, you know, the person that has to like share kind of everything, like let people bring people into a room and let them mingle type of thing. I think that's a really cool approach. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know, the community first approach has sort of been the like feeder into the agency. And the whole idea is like, you know, if you sort of give people the recipe and you teach them what goes into the cake and you teach them how to bake the cake and you give that information away, that, you know, that information is super powerful. And it's a great way to build these relationships and, you know, foster that community. What tends to happen is people are interested in, you know, sometimes just having someone bake the cake for them. And so that's where the agency comes in. And it's really like a nice feeder into, you know, the service layer that we're doing. And so it's a lot of, you know, relationship building through the community. And then it's just like a very natural progression and funnel into the actual service side of the business. And so, yeah, everything to date that we've, you know, all the work that we picked up on the agency side has been like really organic. And so it's been, yeah, it's been great. I think, you know, the agency front is really fun. It's just not as scalable as like, say, the community or potentially even this studio side of things. And so just trying to think about like, how can we build something that's like hyper scalable? And it doesn't need to be the next $1 billion business by any means. Like I want to just build something that's sustainable. And, you know, I want to spend time with my family, ultimately. And so that's like the goal of this thing is like, how do we build like a really cool business that like, you know, gets a lot of people excited, teaches a lot of people how to, you know, make some really cool moves with their business and scale their own businesses. And, you know, in the meantime, supports sort of like this life, this family lifestyle. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And how are you keeping the work-life balance now, you know, another kid coming, you're kind of in the midst of getting this growth of the business, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces here. And, how's that been managing that and navigating through that? Cause I think, There's a lot of factors that go into it. Every day looks a little bit different. New things come up, you know, wife needs something, kids need different things. Now you have a new baby on the way. I'm sure, you know, you might have to take some time off to just really focus in on that. So tell me a little bit about how you're managing that and how you've been managing it and what the goal is going forward. Because I think what you're saying, it kind of ties everything in together. It's like building, like the service business is, in my opinion, from what I've learned, is a business for people that can be available, you know, on a day-to-day basis, unless like a productized service, which most things aren't truly productized. They're labeled as that. But then, you know, there's other pieces of it, like the content stuff and all this, that probably could be a little bit more scalable and doesn't need so much of your attention. So how are you navigating through all of that and figuring out your sweet spot to make sure that you're not, you know, at the fingertips of every client and anybody that comes through the door?
It's a great question. And honestly, it's a really tough one. I mean, I think I've been really trying to focus on like time boxing everything. And so, you know, I do have a bunch of folks that, on the agency side where I'm like, all right, this is the dedicated time for this client. And this is when I'm going to do this type of work. You know, I think a big part of it is like trying to create process around, like, as you mentioned, like the content side or even with some of these agencies, like a lot of the tools that we're using are, you know, automated tools. And so like, while the upfront setup is like pretty intensive, once you get through that phase, it's like these things can, scale and they're automated. And so that's like a big part of it. I think one of the big challenges is like figuring out when to bring on additional help and support. And I've done some of that already, but I think that's like one of the things that I'm focused on right now, especially as we're going into this like new phase from like our, on the family perspective. I think it's important to be able to build something to a point where you're like, okay, I have a process down. We're going to like write it down. We're going to create SOPs around this thing. And then you know, to find the right people is like the key. And then to be able to like hand over that process and make sure that, you know, it's running smoothly and people understand how it works. That's like the sort of like hardest part of this all, I would say. But ultimately that's the thing that's going to allow me to like, you know, not so much step back, but like invest into like other parts of the business and like figure out like how to develop it further. Because otherwise you just end up like getting stuck in the same sort of like routine around like, just focus too much on like one aspect, without like thinking about how can you like evolve this thing and scale it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was one of the things I think you and I talked about too, is just the perspective of like running an agency business and understanding from the beginning. Like now, if I'm starting another agency, I know from the beginning that I need to detach myself from the day to day as much as possible, other than the things that I actually want to do, because it's very easy for you to be the point of contact for client A, client B, client C. All of a sudden you look at down the list and now the clients have to go through a transition of working with somebody else. And then they were like, oh, well, we like the way we work with Justin and he's the founder of this. And we just felt this different connection. It's like, there's a lot of psychological things that happen in that process. And one of the biggest things that I believe I made a mistake on in the beginning, that I just didn't know until later on, was, you know, I got really close with like my clients and how I was dealing with them and the attention I was giving them. And that ended up kind of hurting me on the long run, because now every time I wanted to hand something off and if something didn't go right, they would email me and be like, hey, when we work with you, this wasn't the case. Why is it now? It's like, shit, like it's hard to pull back on certain things when somebody gets accustomed to a certain type of service or whatever that might be. And I think that was a very big learning curve for me. So props to you for, you know, taking that time in the beginning to kind of really work out the kinks and make sure that you're not the center of attention, because I think at that point it can really be a detriment to your, you know, to your day to day, and also the freedom that you're looking to get from, hey, listen, a lot of this stuff can run without me. Let's have it there. And if I need to step in, I'll step in, not the other way around, where it's like, oh, can like, you almost have to ask, you know, your team to like step away and be like, it's like now you have just another job in your own business type of thing. So, okay. But so there's got to be a good balance. And I think as the as the days go on, you know, just like optimizing that process. But you said something about like automating and all that. Tell me how AI has played a role in all of this. How have you been able to utilize? I mean, you have a background in tech and all this. Like, what's AI doing for you in terms of your business, in terms of getting things up and running, and how are you guys utilizing that?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I think it's really enabled like this thing to scale in ways that it wouldn't have been able to just like a year ago. I think like from a content perspective, it's just incredible. So leveraging, building sort of custom GPTs for each one of the clients and really trying to inform those GPTs on like, here's the information you need to know in the language and the style and the tone, makes it so easy to then go back into those things when you want to like spin up new content, whether that be, like emails or like landing page content or content that is on social, to have that sort of like digital brain, like ready to go at any moment. And for it to just have that output is really incredible. It's not like a be all end all. Like it just is like a really great starting point in a lot of ways and enables you to just be so much more, so much faster and in sort of like building the content and like originating those sort of like base points to like riff on, which has been great. I see so many tools evolving. Like every single week there's a new AI tool. And so I'm like constantly diving into them. Like one of the things that I'm looking for right now and been playing around with is like, how can I scale sort of like video content, especially like on the educational front, where like maybe I don't need to sit down for every single lesson and like record each lesson. Like, is there something out there? And there's a few tools that I've been testing, trying to figure out like, can I record sort of like, AI generated avatar and like, they're not quite there yet. They still don't seem quite real. Like I showed my wife one the other day. She's like, that's scary. That doesn't really like, yeah, you're right. Like, and it will, I don't know if we're ever going to be able to capture the like true essence of people, but like, you know, for something that's like an educational based video, if you can get like 98% of the way there, like that's cool. I'm okay with that. Trying to find like the right tools and, same thing with like, I see a lot of the like generative stuff around like building artwork and building, beautiful, like digital, illustration and stuff. Like they're getting there. They're not 100%, but I'm, leveraging that in every way possible. Just at, even if it's not perfect, sometimes you just kind of have to like put things out there and use those things as placeholders until like the right tools and the right things come along to, then you can just like, sub them in. So,
really
helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The AI side of things, is just this and ever evolving. It's like the internet all over again. Like there's just new tools, new apps, new things popping up to make your life a little bit easier. And I was just talking to another person on the podcast. We were talking about just generally like AI and, how people are building that, like these, GPT wrapper apps, like where they just kind of wrap their thing. But if you, he kind of opened my mind up to something a little bit. It's like, You can't expect people who are not, let's say, you could go tell somebody right now and say, hey, use AI, it's going to help you. Clearly, they're going to look there and be like, type something in and be like, that's not really, didn't really help me.
Right.
But I feel like when there's this focus, like almost this like subset of AI to say, simply, we focus on giving you the best essay, like give us a topic and give us a reason and we will create the best possible essay for your best possible newsletter or whatever that might be. And you kind of focus it on one area of the content rather than just like, give me all of the things. There's a lot of value to that, to allow people to kind of absorb that in small pieces rather than this like vague abstract thing where it's just like AI does everything for you when you do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, okay, most people are not going to understand that. It's like the same thing that happened when Bitcoin and these things came about. It's just like people can't wrap their head around, like, how is this doing it? What is it going to do for me? Why does it make my life easier? But like, you have to give people small bits of information and test cases and usage in that area in order to really like get them to solve their problems that they're having. And then they can say, oh, okay, this is now really helping me with what I need, whether it's a resume, whether it's this, whether it's that. So I think there's just a lot of, you know, stuff floating around, just like social media, where it's like, oh, somebody's making, you know, $10,000-$15,000 a month just selling a GPT rep. But it's like, there's a reason for that, because some people are not going to be able to just open up ChatGPT and start typing away and getting what they need out of it. And I think that's a really interesting way of going about it.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. So one of the courses that we teach in Ascend is around how to build a custom GPT. And to your point, like, it's really tough to just go into like the sort of like base version of ChatGPT and say like, help me with this newsletter, because it doesn't really have enough context. And it's going to sort of give you this really like broad-based approach to like writing that newsletter. And so you need to fine tune these things. And in order to fine tune them, the best way that I found so far, and it's, again, it's still not 100%, but like it does work really well. If you build a custom GPT, which isn't, you know, it sounds like it's a big process, but it's a pretty straightforward thing to do.
It's actually kind of fun, if I'm being very honest about it. Yeah.
And it walks you through like the steps. Like, it's really not that hard. And, you know, it's about like, and I'll, you know, for, I mentioned, I do this for like different clients. I'm not, I don't build typically like one GPT for the client and try to get it to do like everything, like write their emails, write their landing pages, write their newsletter, right, et cetera. Like, I'll build a ChatGPT, custom GPT for specifically for like company A's emails. And that will be the email assistant writing tool for that specific company, because it's like a very specific thing that we're going to do. Just like you would hire, you wouldn't, you know, it's tough to find like the unicorn, like generalist, worker, or like, you know, someone that you're going to hire. You want to find these people that like are specialized in a particular area. And like, if you think about it in that way, that's basically what you're doing. You're, you know, going to build something that's very hyper specific and focused on a, and then prompt it to do that thing. And even before you prompt it, you want to train it to do that thing by feeding it materials that you might have already written, or, you know, have to show how, you know, what the style and tone is, and what the language that you're using is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Take me a little bit through your kind of daily routine right now with like building these businesses. What does your kind of overall day look like? I mean, incorporating all of the family stuff I'm sure you have to do, and, you know, now you're growing a team, and remind me again, how big is your current team of like, whether it's contractors or employees and all that?
Yeah, it's still like a pretty tight-knit group. It's like 5 people total.
Cool.
And so, yeah, that's like, you know, folks that are helping with like some of the content production, you know, on the sort of like email or like landing page side. So just like assistance from those folks. You know, I think I mentioned like time boxing. And so like, it's typically, you know, in the mornings, it's like focused on building the like Ascend side out and really like dialing that stuff out. And then, you know, a good part of the day does come down to sort of like helping figure out the tasks at hand for all the different companies that we're working with right now on the agency side. And, you know, we're also building this like studio side as well. I mean, all of these things are really sort of like in the process of being developed. And so really just trying to break those up each day into like time boxes, because otherwise you kind of like spend too much time on like one task and the day gets away from you pretty quickly. What's great is, you know, just been working from home and obviously like the pandemic, I think a lot of people, their lives have changed just being able to stay at home and not having to like leave the house and go to the office. So just like carving out that space in the house and, you know, building like this little like recording space, which has been awesome, and really trying to develop that. And just, you know, finding that, I think it's like finding the time and the space to like get your head around these things, breaking down the tasks, and like, you know, having that checklist up and just saying, today, here are the like here are the top three things that I absolutely have to like hit off my list. And if you do, then like, you know, it does allow you to sort of like free your time up so that you have space to like go be creative and go do those, you know, that ideation and think about like, you know, how do you further develop this thing? That's kind of like what it looks like. So
yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. What's been the, for you at the moment, the hardest thing about building out the agency and the studio side of things, like what's, and maybe even the community side of it, like what have been kind of the little things that are, and I know you did a lot of community stuff with Replo and all that, but obviously this is a little bit of a different model, but what have been kind of the ups and downs there, mostly, you know, if you can highlight some of the stuff that you've really struggled with or that kind of surprised you when you got into it.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, especially like with the studio thing, we're just kind of like hearing from folks like, oh, this is what we need. Like we're investing in content this year. We're investing in education this year. And so it's like, okay, there's a need there. Like, how do we shape a product or service offering around that? And so a lot of it is just like testing and, you know, kind of throwing something up and seeing if it sticks. One of the cool mm-hmm. things that, you know, last year when I was at Replo, one of the really cool things we did at Shop Talk was we set up like our little recording studio on the side of the conference. And we actually didn't even get a ticket into the conference. We just built this studio and we started to pull people into the hotel room, which we turned into a recording studio and got all these people to do interviews. And it was like a really fun thing. And so with the studio idea, you know, I'm like, why don't we like turn that sort of idea into a business? And so, you know, you'll find this on Ascend, ascendlabs.co. We are launching this sort of like offering at Shop Talk this year, which is March 17th to the 20th, where we have the sort of like penthouse suite at the Mandalay Bay where the conference is running. We're setting up, you know, beautiful recording studio, and we have, you know, a ton of slots open for people, for companies that are going to be there that want to record their interviews with their team, their leadership, their partners, and, you know, hopefully their customers. And I think like trying to capture that compelling, authentic, you know, take from those folks is like a really great way to have evergreen content that can be sold, you know, mm-hmm. any time of the year, throughout the year. And so it's like, you know, what do you typically get out of a conference besides like some weird swag from like these companies? And like, yeah, you met a few people. That's great. Like, wouldn't it be even better if you walked away with these like awesome recordings and interviews from your team and your customers and your partners? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the sort of like idea behind the studio piece. And so, yeah, if anybody's going to be at Shop Talk this year in Las Vegas, March 17th to March 20th, and you want to interview your team, your leadership, your partners, or your customers, definitely check out ascendlabs.co and we'll hook you up.
That's awesome. That's really, really awesome. That's a really clever idea, dude. I love what you're doing. And it's awesome because I think there needs to be, I was just at CES and, you know, one of the things that stood out was Nikon, which is like the camera company, the old school camera company. They just like knocked it out of the park with like one simple, you know, you're talking about swag or a little bit ago. They gave these big yellow kind of like grocery type bags to everybody that walked through. I mean, that investment alone was probably $500,000, if not more. I mean, there's so many people at CES. It was a crazy amount. Right. But every single person, I mean, that thing stood out. Even everybody knows Nikon. They probably didn't even have to do that, whatever else it is. But every single person was, you know, carrying this thing around, had stuff in it, and they were carrying around multiple, you know, every single day of that conference. That's like a 5-6 day conference. So yeah. It was just one of these things where they just, you know, as soon as you walk in, you get a bag. That's all it was. And it was just, you know, it was so simple, but yet so stood out. There's like a bright yellow bag that everybody was just like drawn to. So it was really good. It worked really well for them, I think, and just for like that extra brand awareness. And they're probably going to be launching something new and trying to get new people back into to an older company, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, man, I think what you're doing is really, really awesome. And the community aspect, agency aspect, and I'm still hoping that we can find a really good way of collaborating with some courses and with some agency stuff and everything that I've learned and bringing it to the table. And I think that would be, you know, absolutely awesome to work with somebody like you who not only has so much experience under their belt, but you're hungry for that that early stage, that building process. You know what you want to get out of this, and you know how you want to set up the business to adhere to your lifestyle rather than your lifestyle adhering to the business. And I think that's a really, really important point to drive home, because there's so many people who adjust their entire life and it revolves around the business. And I was one of those people early on. And I think when you've kind of gone through the things you've gone through, the ups and downs with the early stage company and all this other stuff, and now you come from this, you know, more of like a senior mentality, you've been through it yourself, and now you're helping early stage startups with their side of things, that I think speaks, you know, volumes in terms of like how you can help them out. So props to you, man, on everything you're doing. It's really awesome. And, you know, I'm rooting for you every single day, Justin.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah. And, you know, I think, getting your take and sort of, you know, bringing your skill set and your background, your knowledge, like into the community too, is like what we need, because, and you know what, and personally, like what I need, because frankly, like this is the first time I'm running an agency. Like you've been through that as well. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I have so much to learn from you. And I think, you know, that's while, you know, kind of gone through the sort of like ringer before, this is like, it's always, you're always, when you start a new business, you're just always starting from like square one, even if you do have those sort of learnings and stuff. Like this is a brand new space for me. And so I look to you, and like your, you know, learnings and everything that you, can bring to the table as well. So I really appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I don't know. Is there anything else you wanted to chat about? Anything that comes to mind that you want to, you know, throw out there for people, whether it's, you know, the early stage companies out there or anything else that's at the top of mind that we didn't touch on?
Yeah. I mean, if you're listening and you have a business that has found product market fit, or you're trying to find product market fit, you know, definitely check out ascendlabs.co. We're also an early stage company as well, and we're, you know, building from the ground up, and we'll help you try to figure out sort of what your next steps are to build a go-to-market motion. You know, it's challenging, and some days you can feel like really down, and some days you kind of see that glimmer of hope that, you know, keeps you going, and the community is really there to help really sort of stabilize that, and provide, you know, feedback and insight. And that's what we're trying to build, and would love for you all to come in and share your learnings. And, you know, we want to learn from you as well. So again, check out ascendlabs.co. And Z, appreciate it, my friend. Always, always great to chat.
Yeah, man. Always. Thank you, man. Thank you so much, brother. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you sharing all of your insights, your story, and everything. That's what this podcast is all about, is just to give people the floor to, you know, hopefully one person will listen to this and they'll take something away, and or just connect a little bit more with you and find you and reach out to you, and whatever that ends up being, it ends up being. There's no stipulations here, but, you know, it's all about just sharing the story. And like I said, my goal is always with whatever it is, the podcast, the writing, the whatever else I'm putting out, the products, whatever else it is, it's always just to help one person and help make an impact in that area of things. And so if that happens, that's, you know, goal accomplished type of thing. So 100%. I appreciate you, man. And thanks for being on, and look forward to chatting again, Justin.
Absolutely. Thanks, Z.
Cheers.
Thanks, everyone. Take care.